Now please take your program and turn to our school hymn. This goes back to the very early days of Whitfield in 1989 when our school commenced. And Dr. Slade was the one who composed our school hymn. And so we're going to stand now as we worship the Lord by singing this again. Tonight is an occasion that is mixed with sadness, though it is also a very happy and a blessed time. We come to remember the ministry of a sister in the Lord and to exalt our Savior in all that He has done in the Whitfield Christian Schools over these 20 years. What you see around you is by the grace and mercy and provision of our great God. And we take no credit and we take no glory, for all the honor and all the glory is due unto Him whom our soul loves. We are where we are today because of the Lord. We're not in a lost eternity today because of Him. By the redeeming blood of our Savior, we stand today justified before a holy God. And that's why we're here, to exalt Him and to honor our sister in the Lord. So we welcome you all tonight. I know there are many folks who were here for our 20th anniversary reunion, and that started at 3 this afternoon and went to about 6 o'clock, but it was very difficult to get everyone shooed out. They were having so much enjoyment in each other's company and fellowship, and it was a special time for all of us. And I must say, I'm very thankful for the name tags that everyone had, because it's a little bit difficult. You know, when I look at somebody after 20 years, I really realize they've changed a lot, you know. Of course, you look in the mirror and you realize how much you've changed as well. So it was so good to have everyone, and we want to welcome all of you now tonight. We have those folks who have been with us from the earliest of days. We have their parents. We have graduates that have gone on and have been successful in their career serving the Lord. And you know, Whitfield has always had the burden in the ministry that yes, it's good to learn the academics, it's good to prepare people for this life, and that's part of our ministry, but it's what are you doing for the Lord? That's the most important thing. But the bottom line is, are you serving Christ? Is your life making a difference for Him? And that's the entire picture and what everything is worth. So we're so thankful to the Lord for giving us this day, and we want to welcome all of you. Certainly welcome all of the family of Dr. Slade who are here tonight to rejoice with her in this special evening, and all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus. We're going to read some scriptures from the book of Hebrews chapter 6. And if you're using one of our red pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 887. 887. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye may not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he received the promise. And may God add his own blessing to the public reading of his own precious word. The first part of our program tonight will be looking back at the early days. And what we have done, we have want to call upon Mr. Jonathan McAnally, if he would come now as one of the first students and representing those first students of the early days, and just share with you some reflections on those early times and how the Lord has been leading.
Well, I have to say I was a little disappointed when the main pulpit here was taken away. I've got to put up with this little one here, and you will see my knees knocking together, but we'll do our best. As it says in your program there, I'm to bring some memories of first class. Well, back in those days, it was maybe more like economy class or coach, maybe not first class, but anyways, we're thankful we're here tonight. On September 5th, 1989, Whitfield Christian Academy, as it was called then, opened its doors to 16 students, ranging from kindergarten to grade 5. And I believe Miss Slade taught the grades 1 to 3, and Mrs. Saunders the 4s and 5s, and we had Mrs. Farrell also who came and helped out and taught the kindergarten class. So myself, along with 4 others, we made up grade 5. Whitfield had its humble beginning, not in this beautiful school complex that we have here today, but in the basement of our church, which at that time was located on Warden Avenue. The basement of the church there, we had 2 main Sunday school rooms. The larger one, was split up into 2 by a curtain and some wooden dividers that were on wheels. And that divided up the 1s to 4, I believe, and the grade 5s were on the other side. And then our sunshine room, as is well known as, was then used for our kindergarten class. And every day began, as it still does today, with morning assembly, where scripture was memorized, hymns were sung, the Word of God read and taught faithfully. We used our church prayer room at the time for our assemblies, which was quickly turned into our lunch room after our assembly was finished. The younger kids, they took the chairs and stacked them up, and the older ones, we put up tables. And I have to confess, I think we took our time to do it sometimes so that our first class would be a bit shorter and we'd get to recess a little quicker. But nevertheless, that was one of our jobs that we had to do.
Still doing that today.
Every Friday, the school ended a little bit, about 10 or 15 minutes earlier, so that we could take our desks and put them away underneath the stairs at the basement there. And every Sunday night, after the evening service, we would take all the chairs and the desks back out again, set everything up for Monday morning. At that time, our church also owned a property next door. It had a house there, and in the backyard, we used it for our playground, where we had swings and slides and a good old eagle's nest. That was a famous climbing apparatus that we had there, and I think it was used even up to a couple of years ago. I think the final resting place was in the Schultz family backyard, if I remember correctly. But it was a great time that we had there. The parking lot of our church there, it wrapped around the church, right from the one side, around the back, and down the other. And so there's plenty of room there for our street hockey and our soccer that we would play along the back. Of the property also ran, I think it's called a catch basin, where all the rainwater would come off the properties and would run down and run away there. So quite often we would get our socks and shoes all wet when we had to jump over the fence after a lost soccer ball or a tennis ball. But those were good times of fun. The driveway was also very useful when the famous Kilometer Club was born. And I think we had to run around the church 8 times to equal 1 kilometer. And I can remember all of us receiving these little certificates stating how many kilometers we had run, along with this medal that was a donut-sized cookie with a hole out of the middle, with a red ribbon around it, and it was placed over our necks. And we were just all happy that we could actually eat something. But I think the students got together and agreed that next year when Kilometer Club would come around, that we had run twice as hard, so maybe the school could afford two cookies next year. Well, without going into great detail, as you all know already, how the Lord had provided for us the Macomb building next door. And it was a great blessing as the school increased to have the room there. And then a few years later, as this building here was erected, again, we were back in the basement once again. I believe it was grade 7 and 10. We're back down in the basement here. Facilities a lot larger and more suited for us than our previous church. But as I said earlier, the school began with grade 5. And each year they added on another grade, 6 and 7 and so on. But in 1994, I believe it was, that the school was faced with the fact that it could not provide the grade 11 for the next year students. I don't know all the details, but perhaps staffing or the necessary curriculum was not available at that time. So 6 of us who were in grade 10 at the time were faced with the fact that we had to go back into the public school system once again. For me personally, Whitfield at that time was just another school. The reason being was we moved from Northern Ireland with my parents back when I was just 3 years old. We moved to the West End. We lived in Brampton there. There I went to school for junior and senior kindergarten. Eventually we moved to Scarborough here. We went to another school for grade 1 and 2. And then we moved again to another location in Scarborough where I went to school for grades 3 and 4. So when Whitfield began for me at grade 5, it was just another school for me. The only difference was that the people I saw on Sunday, I was now going to see Monday to Friday as well. While Whitfield provided the necessary education for me, it also helped me grow in the things of the Lord, to understand and to memorize Scripture, and to help along the Christian pathway. However, I took these things for granted. I didn't see the blessing of God and the blessing of Whitfield that was in my life until I was faced with the fact of going back into the public school system. And even now, as my own son is ready to go into senior kindergarten, Lord willing, this September, my prayer is that in another 20 years, he too will be able to stand here and bear witness of how God has used Whitfield Christian schools in his life. At this time, I would like to ask those in the audience who were with me on that first day, the original 16, if you just please stand. I know we don't have all 16, but if you could please stand just where you are. We have a few here. Several have moved away. Over to my left here, we have Matthew Saunders. Up the front, we have Esther Saunders at the time, but now Esther Moorhead. We have Kimberly McClelland. And over to my right here, we have Jane Robinson and Sarah McAnally, who is now Sarah Rose. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I would like to take this opportunity, as we look back on these past 20 years, just to thank those teachers that put up with me, that taught me. And I'd like to thank, of course, Ms. Slade, Mrs. Saunders, Dr. Saunders here, Mr. Morley, wherever he is, there he is, Mr. Morley, and Dr. McClelland, for their faithfulness to me. And even as we read there tonight in Hebrews 6, I'd like to read verse 10 once again. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Thank you.
That's pretty good, Jonathan, you know, because you get applause after your sermon, but I don't get applause after my sermon. It may be because yours is a lot shorter than mine. That might be the answer. You know, he's talking about the eagle's nest that used to be in the old church in Warden Avenue behind that. And I helped to build that eagle's nest. It looked a bit like this, actually. It was probably more in an angle like this when you look at it. It was a bit crooked, but the kids had a lot of fun playing on that. And those were absolutely happy days and fun times. We have two more reflections now we want to do. And the first one is by Mrs. Saunders, Jill, my wife. And then following that, reflection from two of our former students who have graduated from Whitfield, Sarah Burton and Michael Chin. So I'm going to ask Jill if you'd come up first of all, and then Sarah and Michael, you come up right after she's finished.
I feel like Jonathan. I wish the bigger pulpit were here that we could hide behind. I am very happy to be able to share briefly some reflections of the first days of Whitfield as a tribute to our principal, Dr. Ruth Slade. Our first school day picture of September the 5th, 1989, contains 16 pupils, as Jonathan mentioned, but the work of Whitfield did not begin there. For me, it began 6 months before on Green Hills far away, the hills of Ireland, where Miss Slade flew over to meet me. I was at my first teaching post there at a Christian school where my husband attended seminary, and Miss Slade joined me, and we visited several Christian schools, observing their operation and noting ideas that could be useful to us. We also spent some time choosing our school uniforms, since uniforms are in abundance in the British Isles. It was an exciting time for us, with the anticipation of Whitfield beginning in the fall. We had a great time together and spent many hours deliberating how we would operate the school. We decided to begin with SK to grade 5 and add a grade every year. With 16 pupils and 6 grades between us, we were very thankful for the part-time assistance of Mrs. Sandra Farrell soon after we began. Mrs. Farrell helped with the SK class, and Ms. Slade took grades 1 to 4, and I took the grade 5 class. We were a very happy little family, and we went many places together. The school purchased 2 older model white minivans. Miss Slade drove one and I drove the other. And I'm sure we were a very comical sight. There are many funny stories from those early days, like the day we went tobogganing. And Miss Slade, who was much braver than I, agreed to ride on a GT sled with Matthew Saunders. A GT sled was made for 2 and shaped like a mini bike with handlebars and 1 ski out in the front. The particular hill we were on had a mogul, which Matthew was supposed to avoid. So the 2 set off and, of course, headed straight for the mogul, after which they became airborne. They landed in a heap at the bottom of the hill, and Miss Slade couldn't find Matthew until she heard a voice underneath her, and that was Matthew. So Matthew is here tonight, and he has recovered very well, and now he's a daddy as well. He has a little daughter there. We were delighted when the enrollment doubled each year for the next couple of years, and I believe one of the most wonderful experiences for us was the day when we were able to view the Macomb building for the first time. It was a daycare center run by the wife of the children's TV personality, Mr. Dressup, and when we compared it to our meager facilities in the basement of our Warden Avenue church, we both agreed it was like the promised land, not to mention the euphoria when we actually took over possession of it. The Lord did not leave us alone, but he sent us fellow laborers as the school developed. Those were very happy days. It has been my privilege to work with Miss Slade, first as a Sunday school teacher for 10 years. She was our Sunday school superintendent, and then in the school setting now for 20 years. In those early days, we spent many hours in school together on weekends and many evenings pioneering and consolidating. We were soon not alone, for as year after year, the Lord sent us wonderful people to take up the challenge, many of whom are with us tonight, and many former teachers as well, and we're very thrilled to see them. Upon reflection, I have learned many things from Miss Slade. But I think what I learned the most, that has been the most valuable to me, is that it is very necessary for me as a teacher to love and respect my students. I was brought up in the British system, and that was not the case, but Miss Slade, by her own example, taught us that. You will also not find a more organized person on the face of the globe, and sadly, that did not rub off on me the way I would like it to have. As Miss Slade retires, I think I can enter somewhat into the difficulty and the mixed emotions of leaving something that has become such an integral part of our lives. Watching the development of Whitfield has been more like watching a child develop. First, there was the anticipation of its birth, the excitement of the birth, the growth of early childhood, the challenge of teenage years, and now early adulthood. At 20 years old, Whitfield has reached early adulthood by the grace of God and by the toil and tears of her many staff and supporters. It would not be Miss Slade's desire to see Whitfield regress, but progress to greater maturity. Therefore, we as staff, parents, and supporters can honor Miss Slade's memory no better than by pressing on and believing that God, who has brought Whitfield safely thus far, will perfect that which concerns her. There are several presentations tonight, and I have one to make. It is a coffee table book of memories, which has been made specially, and it is signed by the many staff members who worked under Miss Slade. She was our principal, and we have just about everyone's signature. So it is my pleasure to come down and to present this special book to our beloved principal, Dr. Ruth Slade.
Good evening to all the parents, the teachers, current students, and former students. I'm Sarah Burton.
And my name is Michael Chin, and we are both former students, privileged to represent the student body in the honoring of the career of our former principal. Miss Slade is the only principal that I ever had throughout 14 years here at Whitfield. I first attended Whitfield Christian Academy in 1993 and graduated from the collegiate in 2007. I'm now attending York University, awaiting to begin my third year studying criminology.
Well, I also, like Michael, started in 1993. And however, in grade three, I left the school. And when I was in grade eight, I came up with the decision of I had to choose which high school I would be going to. My parents had left it up to me, and I assumed that I would be going to a public school. However, that summer, God had really been doing a change in my life, and he put it in my heart to consider coming back to the school. And I was nervous about that for different reasons. I didn't know if I would remember everyone. I didn't know who the new people would be. And I remember coming and meeting with Miss Slade and having an interview with her, and I was so nervous coming in, but she just managed to calm all my fears by telling me stories about when I was younger and remembering me. And I knew that this is where God wanted me, and it's really changed my life. Just being a part of the high school, I know that that's where God had placed me. And now I'm also at York, and I'm working towards the teacher college program.
Miss Slade truly fulfilled her calling in educating children. She exemplifies what a principal should be, educating children in spiritual matters as well as academic. Miss Slade provided an atmosphere of structure and discipline at school, keeping order and shaping the character of every child. Upon meeting Miss Slade, she automatically commands your respect without ordering it, and children readily respond to her firm and caring approach. Her blessings and talent, grounded on spiritual foundations, drove her to pursue and achieve the highest levels of excellence possible in all aspects of her school to the glory of God. She demonstrated this vividly in her organization of assembly and school concerts. Time, preparation, practice, dedication, discipline, and purpose. She truly has a blessing in organizing school productions and motivating herself as well as her students to perform with precision, excellence, and a joyful heart in ministering through music and glorifying God. I remember Miss Slade always saying, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, and as unto the Lord." More importantly, she led by example, personifying biblical lessons so that they became the thoughts, actions, habits, and character of each student from the most formative age. Miss Slade taught us not only how to behave, but why. And we did so because she made us understand that God was watching, even if nobody else is. I always remember Miss Slade as a nice and pleasant lady, but we were always aware of the disciplinarian in her as well. I'm sure everyone in here knows that Miss Slade has a routine when she enters a room full of students. If it's before a concert, practice, or assembly, or anything, and the students are noisy, she just comes in and every student looks up at her, raises their hand, and they're quiet. This just demonstrates the discipline and respect that Miss Slade sought to instill in all of her pupils, and she never compromises that or changes. In fact, she hasn't changed at all since 1993. When I met her, she still looks exactly the same. She hasn't even aged. And she remembers the name of every single student in her school. And just as a side note, I remember one specific thing just with Miss Slade and myself. When I started driving to school, I would sometimes pass Miss Slade on Markham Road. Not speeding or anything, just sort of just pass. And every time when I get into the school parking lot, after passing her, I see her walking into the school. Every time. And I don't know if she has some kind of secret passageway, or I don't know.
Miss Slade also showed her discipline in all the many fundraisers that she put together in the collegiate. Whether it was for missionary work or for the school building or for other reasons, she always put her best and managed to get everybody involved in fundraising for these different charitable things. And she also just gave her heart and soul into everything she did in order to glorify God. Like Jonathan said, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Miss Slade truly has trained up children in the way that they should go. From 1989, when the school opened, until today, she's seen thousands of children enter and exit the doors of Whitfield, and the whole time she's shown the love of God to them through her example. Whitfield isn't just a place where you learn academically, but it's a place where teachers can freely share God's word and the message of the gospel. It's a place where God is honored and growing in a strong relationship with Him is encouraged. God speaks of the importance of children so often in the Bible, and He has given us an encouragement to train His children. Miss Slade has so many children. Like Michael, a lot of them have been coming here their whole lives, and she has given them a godly figure to look up to and been such a big part of raising them. God has given not the responsibility not only to birth parents, but to all of us in taking care of His precious children. And Miss Slade has fulfilled this responsibility and surpassed it. She strives to honor God in whatever she does, and that will always be remembered. I know for myself, she has given me a great example of what a godly woman should look like, and for that I will always be thankful.
Embroidered on the crest of every Whitfield student is Romans 15, verse 4, which reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Miss Slade made it her passion to ensure that every student in her care knew Scripture, and we learned it. Through patience and practice, she enabled us to recite chapters of the Bible by embedding them in our minds daily. One word that corresponds with Miss Slade is music. In fact, every time I encountered Miss Slade in the hallway, she's always humming a tune of some kind, whether it's a hymn. And music is just an effective tool that she used to put scripture in the memory of small children who might not otherwise be able to learn. And we never forget it. In fact, sometimes when I'm trying to remember where a particular book of the Bible is, I might pause, but in my head, I'm really going, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And these are just things that you never forget.
So thank you, Miss Slade. Thank you for your patience, for your prayers, for your time and effort, for your love and discipline, and for your encouragement and your godly example. Thank you for always having your office door open and being willing to listen to us. Thank you for all the countless hours that you have spent organizing events, concerts, and assemblies. But most of all, thank you for the years of dedication that you've given to this school and in serving the Lord.
In closing, Miss Slade, we truly appreciate your contribution to this school, to our education, and to our lives. You were my principal for all 14 years, and I know you will certainly be missed here at Whitfield, although I am confident that your office will be prayerfully passed on to godly and capable hands. There will just never be another principal like you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Saunders, for those reflections, and also to Sarah and Michael. Those memories are very precious, and they stick with people for a lifetime, as you can see very evidently by the testimonies. At this time, we're going to call on our elementary choir to sing for us, and Miss Alexandra Beard is going to lead that choir. And then following that, Mr. George Robinson, who is our business manager, is also going to come and bring some memories, reflections. wee bit bewildered. Is it my turn? Somebody said on the way up, keep it short, George. I have 4 pages before me, so bear with me. 36 years ago, in the spring, I have to go back a long time. In the spring of 1973, I was 18 years old, for those who are trying to work it out, I moved into a downtown address just months after emigrating from Northern Ireland. It was Gibbon Street, between Shaw and Ossington. And there was nothing significant about this area except there was a public school further down the street. And Queen Street Mental Institution was at the bottom of the street. 999 Queen Street, as it was known then. It's got a fancier term now. But 6 years later, I have to jump forward to a moment, and these are the first of the years that end, or the decades that end in nine. In the February of 1979, shortly after the formation of this church in 1976, Miss Ruth Slade joined with us and became our first Sunday school superintendent. And I discovered with amazement at that time, a little bit later, that Miss Slade was the teacher in that school that was at the bottom of my street. It was Gibbon Shaw Public School, is that correct? And I was amazed at the providence of God that brought me into that little nondescript area, street, and yet within a few hundred meters, Miss Slade was maybe observing me. As I drove by, as I walked by to work, little did I know that there may have been a set of eyes looking upon me. But I must have passed the grade, because shortly after she became the superintendent, she came to me one day, as Miss Slade often has done, and most of you that are in this church will know what this feels like, when she asked you a question, and the question was, could I teach a Sunday school class? And when she asked you a question like that, I could find no more other acceptable answer than to reply to the affirmative and with a nod of the head. Nobody says no to Miss Slade. I soon learned that. Now, as we jump forward, I want to go jump forward very quickly. I'm trying to keep it short. To the next 10 years, to 1989. Another decade with the ending in nine. And we came to another defining moment. Miss Slade took early retirement from teaching at Gibbons Shaw Public School. And she felt the call to be involved in the formation of Whitfield Christian Academy, as it was called then. And after much prayer and preparation, we opened our school in 1989. And her sacrifice and leadership influenced me greatly. She could have retired and taken it easy after 30 years of teaching, approximately, in the public system. But aren't we also thankful that the Lord had other plans for her? And as the school grew rapidly, as has already been mentioned this evening, the Lord was working in my own heart. And 2 years later, I resigned from my secular employment and joined Whitfield, inspired by the example and sacrifice of Miss Slade. In those early years, we all had to wear many hats. And my calling was more specifically to undertake the business management of the church and the school. And also I had a little vision to help start the computer classes. Some of you will remember them in the basement of the McComb building. It's off limits now. You can't go down there. I think maybe the mice inhabit that computer class now. But however, once again, that call came to me. Despite these specific calls I had, there was an overture made to me, could I teach math? And by a certain lady that sits up here. And could I resist? I could still only say, I could not say the word no. So I said yes, with a nod of the head. But it was always, I want to have a few reflections now, because I know most of you so far have stolen some of my lines. That's the problem when you come on a little later. But I was always amused to see not so many students, but the reaction of some grown men to Miss Slade. Some of them whom had generous helping of ego, because they became like little schoolboys in the presence of the principal. And I think of one particular gentleman,
I'm not going to mention his name. I'll give you a clue. Who walked the halls of Parliament for many years. Asked me one time, rather sheepishly, and with a slight impishness in the tone of his voice, if you could tell Miss Slade a joke. He was really concerned whether she would enjoy a good laugh. And so I never forgot that moment. I won't. You can ask me afterwards. I may tell you who he is. But there were other gentlemen, certain gentlemen of considerable vintage in our church, whose behavior around the principal would have earned themselves pink slips the length of their arm if they were in school. And so these were highly amusing to me to see these aged gentlemen, how they reacted around Miss Slade. I think if the rod of correction might have been used if it were fashionable, but let it be. This is a sort of an internal thing here. Only a few people know what I'm talking about here. But let us move forward then to another 20 years to the present. And I have to say, Miss Slade, your vision has inspired many, and some of us owe our careers because of your vision and humility. Vision and humility are vital in the operation of any enterprise. You can have people with vision, but they're not very humble. But in Miss Slade, we have them in great abundance. And this humility has always struck me, and I could go on, and as has been mentioned, and I'll stray from my notes. But only eternity will reveal the fruit of your endeavors. Many things that you do behind the scenes have gone unnoticed by many. But be encouraged that your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Oftentimes you will hear the voice of singing while she's doing a work in the wee hours when nobody's about. Well, almost. There has to be somebody to witness. Well, I will miss those times spent in the principal's office. Going over old times, sharing laughs, and encouraging one another. And at times we would just close the door. If there was a fire there, I would pull the chair up, put a few logs in the fire, and we would just go on. And I would return back a couple of hours later to the office, and my wife says, "Where have you been? What has kept you? You're supposed to be only gone for 10 minutes. But it was those impromptus that really I rejoiced over, and we had some good laughs. Well, I have to illustrate what I say by, we took a certain journey one time. Four of us, we took a journey down to New Hampshire. And it was for the ordination of David McLellan. And my wife and Miss Slade were in the back seats. And a certain gentleman who shall remain unnamed sat in the passenger seat. And we had a very enjoyable journey down and successfully made our way to the church. We had a very good evening. And then we proceeded to make our way back to the hotel. And we got completely lost. And gradually less and less advice from the backseat drivers came forward to me. So I was left to myself. And a certain levity took over. So I had no sensible directions from my passenger friend beside me. And after some time, we started to see the same landmarks, the same off-ramps and the same on-ramps. We were going round in circles. We wanted to go south, but you had to go north to go south, and you had to go west to go east. And only those people who have experienced that down there will understand what I'm talking about. It's eastbound, westbound, northbound, southbound, but I was too logical. And so we spun around in circles for a long time. And the comedy show, it was quite a comedy show, and was much hilarious laughter. And my passenger friend, who was very quiet up at this moment for most of this, he announced in very measured English tones, he says, "I think we are lost." Well, that was just like throwing a match into a petrol can or a gasoline tank. Things erupted in the back. We just laughed ourselves silly. We did eventually get home, but I don't know what time of the morning it was. But those were very precious times, and we had lots of laughs that time. It was a time with maybe the stress of... it's important to be able to get rid of your stress. And we got rid of a lot of stress that weekend, and it was really a memorable time. Miss Slade, I would just say enjoy your retirement. May the Lord give you years, many years, to rejoice in the fruits of your labors. and even on reflecting on a rich treasury of stories. Your presence will be greatly missed. And we do that hope in some capacity you will grace the halls of our school with your presence. It will be reassuring to see the high dough license plate somewhere in the confines of the parking lot. But in a more serious tone, I cannot think of better words to conclude than has already been quoted from the book of Proverbs, but this has been used on occasions in the past. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Robinson, for those words of reflection. We're going to ask the staff choir to make their way to the risers now for their presentation ministry. Gentlemen, if you'd come first.
Dr. Slade, could I ask you to please come up to the pulpit now? We have some presentations that we would like to make, and I'm going to ask our sister if she'll just come up and just have a seat down here. We have three presentations we would like to make now. First of all, from the staff of Whitfield Christian Schools, and then from the parents, and then finally from our church, a family, our session, and our board. First of all, I'm going to ask Miss Debbie Nichols if she would come and make the presentation on behalf of the staff.
As already has been said, it has been a privilege and a joy and honor to work with Dr. Slade these many years and to have her as our principal. But not only has she been our principal, but she has been a teacher unto the teachers, for she has taught us through her own life and ministry and testimony how to be a witness to the students. And we have learned that from her. We also have heard over the years that Miss Slade is a unique person, and she is truly a unique person. And just on the side, I have to say that that look that Miss Slade has and that she uses to settle down the students works also on the teachers. So, that look myself. She is a unique person, so it would only be fitting to have a unique gift for her. And the suggestion was made some months ago that we make her a quilt. Now, quilts in general are not really unique in and of themselves, but Mrs. Kathy West, who is a longstanding parent, and now our sewing teacher, she found a unique pattern for a unique quilt, one that will be very, very fitting for our principal. And I will just ask them to maybe bring the quilt up. And while Mrs. West and also Mrs. Joanne Fraser are coming up, I have to say that these two ladies have coordinated the making of this quilt and coordinated the quilting bee for the last few months. And these two ladies in particular have put in many, many extra hours into this quilt and in adding some very special and unique details. So please, if you have an opportunity, come and take a look at it. But also there were some other ladies involved in the quilt, and I would like to ask them to come forward. Hopefully they are here. Mrs. Mae McClelland, she could come forward. Is she here somewhere? Mrs. Carol Cleland as well put in some hours into this quilt. And Mrs. Christine Jew. So if these ladies are in the audience, if you could just come forward. And there is an inscription on the quilt that we would like to, would you like to read it? Want me to read it? Dr. Slade, this quilt was lovingly made by the staff and friends of Whitfield Christian Schools in honor, in your honor, in honor of Dr. Ruth Slade upon her retirement, presented June 6, 2009. And I would just like to, maybe these ladies would just like to open it up. And I would just like to read on behalf of the staff of Whitfield Christian Schools, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
I was able to view the quilt as it was almost completed, and I was overwhelmed by the amount of hours and the detailing of it. It will be hanging on display in the gymnasium at the end of our program tonight, where we go over for some refreshments, and you'll be able to have a closer look at it. These ladies invested, well, over 1,000 hours of time in producing this, and it's a tremendous commitment. And you will really enjoy looking at it in more detail later. I'd like to ask Mr. Jew if he would please come to the platform now. If you were walking into the gymnasium earlier at the registration time, you may have seen a little church that was built, schoolhouse, that was there for the depositing of the cards that you would have written, memories and so on, for Miss Slade to read at a later time. And so I've asked Mr. Jew just to come up and make that presentation to her. He made this house, this schoolhouse himself, and painted it. And there's a door on it that opens, and you're able to get the cards out once they're placed in. Even has cedar shingles on the roof, so he did a detailed job. And what we have on the front here is a crest. It was burned into wood, lasered into wood, Whitfield Christian Schools. It's our crest with Romans 15, verse 4, written for our learning. And on the back side, there's a little slot where the cards go in and the name of the school there. So, now I'd like to call to the platform Reverend Kevin Hahn and Mrs. Grace Tofik. They're going to make a presentation on behalf of the parents of our school.
On behalf of the parents at Whitfield, I would like to express our deepest thanks for your dedication, your faithfulness in making everything possible in this school. We thank God for you, for God has prepared for us a very special and wonderful principle, not just for our children, but for all the parents here. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. And we thank God for everything you have done for us and for our children. And may you continue be blessings to many, many people in the future. May God bless you. And now, on behalf of the parents, may I present a painting to Miss Nay. It's a painting with the title School Days.
when you see people up here and they're giving people hugs and kisses, you always wonder what they're whispering in each other's ears, you know? You need to have a microphone there so we could all hear that. It is my delight and honor, on behalf of the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, our session and board, to make a presentation to Dr. Slade for her commitment to Christian education in our school. We know very well that a work that is done for God is a work whereby He prepares people to accomplish that goal. He gifts people with talents. He gives people qualities. And He brings them to the forefront to fulfill His work and His will. And if we are submissive to that will, the Lord will indeed use us. As our sister has been submissive to God's will and God's calling in her life. And we acknowledge this as a congregation, as you do as parents. We acknowledge the great debt to the Lord that we owe to Him. I have worked with Dr. Slade over the years in very close situation as we share an office next to each other. And we have been through many experiences in dealing with school matters, many happy ones, but there are also great challenges. There are times where we have, in interviews, hard decisions to be made. If we're dealing with a complex student issue that spills over into families, it may be church-related families, it may be outside of our church, but I can tell you that Dr. Slade has always conducted herself with a professionalism and with a true Christian spirit. And so it gives me a particular joy to have been able to work with her. And I have been influenced in a great way by her character, her personality, and indeed her love that she has for our students. And you have seen this reflected tonight, and certainly by each of you who have come to share in this very special evening. We have a plaque that we prepared for our sister, dated June the 6th, 2009, the retirement of Dr. Ruth Slade from the session and board of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church in recognition of your faithful service for 20 years as principal of the Whitfield Christian Schools, with appreciation and thankfulness for your godly influence and leadership of staff and students, we convey upon you the title of Honorary Principal, 1989 to 2009, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, Hebrews 6, verse 10. And Dr. Slade, as well as that, the session and board would also like to be able to present to you this small token of our appreciation that you may use on a holiday, a cruise maybe. Or there may be someone else in this congregation who likes traveling as well, so you might find a partner to travel with. And we would like you to receive this as a small token of our appreciation. And I want you to know that you are always welcome in the halls of Whitfield. We don't want times to go by where you're not there and sharing with us and coming to be with the students. To call upon the collegiate choir now to come and minister in song. Thank you very much, young people, for ministering to us in song. Dr. McClellan is going to come now and bring a tribute, and then following that, Dr. Slade will ask you to come up and make a reply.
George mentioned that it's very difficult as a late speaker because all your lines are taken by somebody else. George, try being the last speaker. I've been watching as line by line the wind has been taken out of my sails, and it's interesting to hear all the comments that were made. But today has been a great day for our school as we have marked the 20th anniversary of the Whitfield Christian Schools. It's amazing to me it's now 20 years since our modest beginning in 1989. The time has flown, and it was so good this afternoon to see so many of the former pupils and the teachers and friends come along to share with us. But as has been mentioned, there is a tinge of sadness in the air because we're meeting tonight to note the retirement of our beloved principal, Dr. Ruth Slade. My wife and I first met Ruth in 1963 in Jarvis Street Baptist Church, where her father was the esteemed pastor. She was heavily involved in the work of the Sunday school there at that time, and the church had an outreach in Regent Park, and she asked me if I would speak to the children gathered in the open air at that time. None of us had any idea of what was going to happen in the days to come as the Lord led us and eventually brought us together to work in the work of the church here and of our school. We had no idea of the plan that the Lord had mapped out for us at that time. It was 6 years after that that the Lord called me into the ministry, another 7 years before the church here was founded. Dr. Slade's father passed away in 1974. In 1978, Ruth began to attend our church meetings on Warden Avenue as I moved into the church at that time. It was a blessed day to me when she offered her services to help with our fledgling Sunday school. And she had prayed much that the Lord would guide her, and the Lord gave her a clear word, and that word was, "Occupy till I come." And that command she has faithfully obeyed for the last 30 years. The contribution that Ruth Slade has made to the life and the work of this church is enormous. And without her dedication, her faithfulness, her love of the children, and as had been mentioned already, her exceptional organizational skills, we would not, humanly speaking, be where we are today. In the mid-80s, there was a serious problem rising in the public schools. Full funding was given to the Roman Catholic schools with the right for them to proselytize. As a congregation, we were somewhat concerned about the direction in which the public schools were moving. They banned the use of the Lord's Prayer. They banned the use of the Ten Commandments. The Bible itself could not be used in the public schools except in comparative religious studies, along with the scriptures of other non-Christian religions. And as a congregation, we felt something had to be done to protect our children and to train them in the ways of the Lord. One day I met Ruth in our Warden Avenue church just outside the office. There's a little corridor there. And I spoke with her. She had been, as you've heard, a public school teacher for many years. And I asked her if she had ever considered becoming involved in Christian education. Now, at that precise moment, a little girl passed by. She was just 3 years of age. She's sitting in the second row here now. She was just 3 years of age, blonde. And she walked past us, and she happened to be Ruth's grandniece and my granddaughter. And perhaps I added a little bit of pressure on Ruth, but I said to her, could she bear to see that little one being put into the increasingly godless public school system? And the dart found its mark in her heart, and The decision was taken to start the Whitfield Christian Academy, and Dr. Slade became the principal, and that was in September 1989. Under her leadership, the schools quickly grew, and the new premises were an urgent necessity. We moved to the Macomb building in 1991. We built the church here in 1994, and then followed by the new school building, our millennial project, in 1999. From those early days until the present, Dr. Slade has served the Lord with distinction, and in my humble opinion, she is the finest children's worker that I have ever met in my experience. Her eyes have been mentioned already several times, and there's something about those eyes, and if a child needs encouragement, or needs some help or love even, those eyes are filled with loving concern. I've seen that myself. And then also, if a child or a pupil needs some sort of discipline or correction, those eyes also, they carry a very stern, a wordless warning, and they know we're not going to mess around with the principal of the school. Among the outstanding traits of Ruth's character is, of course, her pleasant nature and her sparkling sense of humor. And Ruth, I hope that in your busy retirement, and it will be busy, in your busy retirement, that you'll find time to put together that long talked about book of the priceless gems that she has collected of things that children have said down through the years. It's just a joy to listen to some of the statements made by the pupils down through the years. And I hope that in retirement you'll find time to get to work in that book and share it with us. And for me personally, working with Ruth has been a joy. And in all those years of exemplary service, I don't think we ever had a contrary word in the 30 years of working together. And I thank the Lord for that. Now, Michael, he stole my line on the music, but what I have to say is that, as you know, that music is a great love in Miss Slade's life, and in the unguarded moments, you can go past and you hear her happily humming a tune or some piece of music, she's not even aware of it, but you pass by and you'll hear it, and always think it's good that somebody is happy in their work and happy in the Lord as well. Her ability to get children to sing is legendary, and her energy in this area is amazing. It's always a Monday morning treat for me to speak to the primary assembly, and Ruth, she leads the primary assembly, and under her tutelage, you want to hear those children sing. What a blessing it is. Every Monday morning, we sometimes come in as preachers with what you call PSS, and that's post-sermon syndrome. In other words, you preached the day before, and Monday morning you're looking for a job opportunity in the newspaper because you felt you didn't do too well on the day before. And so sometimes ministers get the Monday morning blahs or the Monday morning blues, but you go and listen to those children singing, and it would blow the blues away and the blahs away. It's a real tonic for the soul. And to hear them belt out, "O Canada," well, I never heard anybody who can sing "O Canada" any better than our primary assembly on a Monday morning. It is a blessing. Now, it may be trite, but nevertheless it is true and has been mentioned already, that only heaven will reveal the harvest that Ruth will reap after a lifetime of faithfully and lovingly sowing the seed of the Word of God in the hearts and the minds of the children. We wish you the Lord's richest blessing as you embark on another aspect of life. We know that your mind will be continually with Whitfield, and we hope that you will visit often and continue to give the wise counsel and the help that all of our young people need. The door is open to you, and we trust that we'll see very much of you in days to come. One thing I have to finish with, I think that Ruth is getting to the stage where she's sort of liking these retirements, because she worked for a number of years. If I remember rightly, it was 37 years. 35, she's correcting me, that takes 2 years off her age. That 35 years in the Gibbons Public School, then she retired, and they had a retirement for her. Then she came to work for us, she headed up our Sunday school, and then she retired from that, and then we had another retirement for her. And then she went to work in the school, and now here's the third retirement, and we wonder what is coming along after this. She has been a teacher for a long, long time, but there's still one lesson that she has to learn. There's one lesson that she must learn, and that is when you're spelling retirement, there are two hyphens in it. It's R-E, Ruth Esther, R-E hyphen T-I-R-E hyphen M-E-N-T. So tonight, she's getting a new set of tires, actually, and I'm sure there'll be many, many opportunities for Ruth to continually serve the Lord in the future. And let me close off with the verse that has already been the theme of this retirement, Hebrews 6 and 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." May the Lord bless you. There's just one final thing that I'm concerned about, and that is that I've found it's never a good thing to give a woman the last word. But tonight, Ruth does have the last word, and we will just have to be good. If you want to know what you said, we just said, "You've hugged everybody else, you better hug me too."
Well, my dear friends, imagine me being speechless. That doesn't happen very often. But I found myself a few times this evening pinching myself and saying, "Are you attending your own funeral?" You have been so generous, and I am very humbled and overwhelmed with your generous accolades and kindness, of which I am not worthy at all. I read recently of someone who was celebrating their retirement. This was in the public school, and they had thanked this lady for her years of service and so on. And when she got up to reply, she said, "And why would you be thanking me for what I love to do?" And I have to say the same tonight, because I started very young, even long before I went to school myself. I lined up my dolls and my teddies on the stairs, and I was teaching them when I could hardly stand up myself. But it's been a long time, as some have alluded to, the 35 years with Toronto Board, and now 20 years here. I'm looking for that student who said a few years ago to his mother, "Do you think Miss Slade will retire when she turns 50? Anyway, I must thank those who have taken part tonight for all their kindness, for the students who sang so nicely. Really appreciated that. And collegiate choir, that was lovely. That was a John Rutter, I think. Beautiful, beautiful piece of music. I knew nothing about all that was going on here tonight, except that once in a while they would be practicing and come over to the school. And one little grade one stopped me the other day and said, "You're retiring soon." I said, "Oh, really? That's interesting." And another little grade two came along and said, "We have a surprise for you." But don't you ask me what it is, because I can't tell you. But I do appreciate all of the children being here tonight. From the words from Jonathan McAnally, I do remember him coming into school just this high, into Sunday school this high when he was just 3, and for the kind words from Mrs. Saunders, I appreciate so much. We do go back a long way, and we've had many, many happy times together and fellowship in this work. When about 10 years ago, the high school came into being in full swing, Mrs. Saunders did so much in the establishing of that, from our library through all the various aspects of guidance and work that had to be done in establishing that area. And I so appreciate all that she has done and for her fellowship as well. And then for Sarah Burton and Michael Chin, thank you so much for your kind words. I do remember Michael visiting me a little when he was quite small. He used to come into the office and we'd have to straighten out a few things. I don't know where Michael is now. But you know, in later years, after he came to know the Lord, the only time I saw Michael was just with the big smile on his face and enjoying school. So we are so grateful what the Lord has done. Thank you, Mr. Robinson, for your kind words. We've had many a good time and fellowship together in this work. And it's, you know, in some schools, when they're starting up, the principal is responsible for everything. You have to look after the financial end as well, but I've never had to bother my head. Anybody comes asking about tuition or whatever, I can say, well, just call Mr. Robinson. That has been such a help. For the staff too. I never knew you could sing so well. I couldn't believe my ears and my eyes. It was just wonderful. Your mouth's wide open. Oh, there's great potential there. We'll have to get to work on that. And then for Mr. Hahn's kind words and Mrs. Tofik and for Dr. Saunders and for Dr. McClelland. I am so grateful for these godly men with whom I've been privileged to work. It has been indeed a blessed fellowship working together in the school and in the church. And I'm so grateful to have these men to stand by. And of course the whole board comes in under that too, because they have stood behind us and helped us most of all with their prayers. I don't think there's ever a prayer meeting in the church where the school is not remembered. And I'm so grateful for that. And it has been my pleasure and my joy to work with both of these godly men who seek the honor of the Lord above everything else. I have to just say at this point, it is not about me. The verse that comes to my mind is, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. We had never sat down from the day we said, yes, the Lord is leading us to open up this school, and sat down and said, well, now this is our plan, and by 5 years this will happen, and this. It's never been that. It's just been step by step that the Lord has led us and directed us every step of the way. And we are so grateful for that. It really is the most blessed way to go, and it's all of His grace that we are where we are today. I had the privilege of being born into a pastor's home where the family altar was the center of every day, and where I very early learned to know the ways of the Lord and to love His word and His truth. And I am so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for all my family, so many of my family that are up here in the front. They don't usually sit in the front seats, but I think they got put up there tonight. And I'm so thankful for those that are here, and some cousins too, some that have slipped in the back. Grateful to see all of you. It's very nice that you're here. Altogether, the end of June will be 55 years for me, 35 with the public school and 20 at Whitfield. Mr. Robinson and I have talked many times saying that we felt that our training in our other vocations, our earlier vocations, really just prepared us for this ministry. He has said that coming from the business world, and I say that coming from the public school. When I started back in 1954, it was not like it is today. We were still free to have Bible stories with the children and to sing hymns. Everybody knew Jesus loves me, even if they went to another Sunday school somewhere. But that is not so now, and it's not been so over the last 20 years. So this is why we saw the great need of having a school where the academics are very important, but in the environment of a Christian atmosphere where children would learn first and foremost to fear and to love the Lord with all their heart and soul and mind. Teaching was the best fun for me ever. I never had any other thought of any other vocation, but the privilege of coming to a Christian school is truly a high calling. I have to say, the lines are fallen onto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. This is the text that we've had on our banner and on our invitations to the school, or to this reunion, rather. And we just have to say that it is all of the Lord, and we are so grateful to Him. It has been a great privilege to just be part of it, just to enjoy the Christian fellowship every day in the workplace, and to work with boys and girls, and to encourage them in the ways of the Lord. Surely there is no higher calling. One of our motto texts has been, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." I do believe that Whitfield was raised up by God. It is a story of many miracles, a story of many evidences of God just working. And I could spend the rest of the night just talking about many wonderful things that happened, but I'd like to refer to just one particularly. When we were building the new school in 1999, one day the pastor came over to my office and said, "Have you a spare $100,000 that you could give me?" And I said, "Well, not today, but probably by Saturday." We were going to have a garage sale. So probably by Saturday we could get you $100,000. "Why? What do you want it for?" He said, "Well, I've just been over talking to the builders in the new school, and they said that if they only had $100,000, we could make our double gym now." It was sort of in plan B. But we could do it now, and we wouldn't have to tear down brick walls to do it. It would be so good if it could happen, you know, right now. And the pastor said, "We cannot ask our folks for any more money. They have been so generous." And so I said, "Well, what would you think of putting out a fleece? And the Lord can show us whether we're to have that gym or not. We'll write a letter and send it to our parents, and we'll give it till Monday morning. And if the Lord wants us to have that gym, we'll just see what happens by Monday morning." At the garage sale, I was getting people handing me $100, and some would 25 or 20. "I wish I could give more, but please put that into the gym." And it started accumulating. And the next day at church, it was accumulating even more. By Sunday night, we were up to $83,000, and it was to be by Monday morning was our fleece. I got a call from one of our parents who said, "How's that fund coming along?" And I said, "Well, we're at 83, but we need 100. She said, "Whatever the balance is, I want to pay it." I said, "Well, I don't think it's going to be $17,000 because we said Monday morning, and we'll just wait and see. Others haven't had an opportunity to put the money in yet." So Monday morning came, and we were up to $92,000. And I called her, and she said, "Well, I'll send you 10, and then you'll have a little extra to go with it." That's just one of the stories of the miracles. And sometimes I think we're so close to it that we don't really, you know, remember it the way we ought to and appreciate it. But God has had His hand upon this school, and we only can praise Him for that. In 20 years, we have multiplied more than 20 times. Now, just a minute. That math isn't exactly right. We started with the 16, so we have multiplied more than 20 times 16. It has got even higher than that. And I was going to have the original 16 of those who are here just to stand, but we've already done that and acknowledged them. So we're thankful for those who are still close enough to attend today. Warden Avenue had special memories. We were just a little family there, but it was indeed a family. And we had many wonderful times, but we were quickly filling up that basement. And I remember saying to Dr. McClelland, if we get to 50, we'll have to just say no more because there won't be room. But in the meantime, as Mrs. Saunders referred to the opening of the McComb building, we are so grateful to Mr. McComb and Mrs. McComb, who is still living, for that wonderful gift of $1.5 million to buy the building next door. Pretty soon it was full. And then we moved some of our folks into the basement below here, and that lasted until we had our lovely new edifice finished in 1999. And of course, we have spilled over into the portables as well through the years, but the Lord has done it, and we are just so grateful to Him for everything that He has done. We are grateful above all when we see in the lives of our students evidence of the Lord working. Just the other day, Wednesday noon it was, I was upstairs in the high school, and I really had forgotten it was Wednesday noon, and that's the day when the high school people have their prayer meeting. This is strictly voluntary. The students organize it themselves. We as staff have nothing to do with it. But I looked into the library where they were met, and there was not a space. They had three round tables, and they were all clustered round the tables, very full, and there were three prayer meetings going on at the same time. And I turned to somebody who was outside at that particular point, who was usually there, and I said, you know, that's the powerhouse in a student's life. And I am so grateful to see them in there, that this is the focus that they have and that we encourage them to have, so that in all things they will put the Lord in first place. Our students have excelled academically, and we can only thank the Lord for what He has done there. Many of our students have gone to very prestigious universities. Not one student has ever been turned down from any university that they requested. In fact, their dilemma usually is when they apply to three or four, which is quite usual, they say, now what am I going to do? I've been accepted at all of them. And so prayerfully we encourage them to seek the Lord and have Him show them where His path is for their life. But every one of them, there has not been one turned down. And I've had even businessmen who have employed our students after they have graduated say, oh, send us all the Whitfield students you can. We're just delighted to have them. They are a very nice finished product. So we are grateful for this. We are thankful to our dedicated staff over the years, and we're happy for those who've been able to return today as well. These are men and women who have been chosen by God. We do believe this because it is a mission project. They would not make in salary anything near what they would in the public system. But they have had a call from God to serve Him at Whitfield. And we do thank you for your work and for your example, your godliness. We're thankful to our parents, too. We have a wonderful group of parents who supported us all through the years. Parents who have made a great sacrifice in many cases to have the children in the school. But I've had parents say to me over and over, the best investment that I ever made was to bring my child here, so that he would learn first of all the ways of God and have that focus for his life. And then, as the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we are thankful for the parents who have shared our vision and who believe that in an environment like this, the children are strengthened in their faith so that they may go out to be lights in this world. It's a dangerous thing to start thanking people because it could get, I know I might leave somebody out, so I'm making it very general. Very thankful to the students who make our days so pleasant. We have a wonderful bunch of children and older young people as well. And they bring such joy. There's always, pretty well every day, there's a smile from one of our children. I dare not start on the stories tonight. Dr. McKellen was talking about them going in a book, but I must share just a few with you. This is what brightens our day and brings us lots of happiness along the way. One day I said to a class of little ones and twos, "Where did the name of our school come from? How come it's not called Finch Avenue School or Nielsen Road School? Why do you think it's called Whitfield?" And a hand went up very quickly and said, "Because we've got a big field out at the back of the school." And then there are other fun ones as well. We had a little boy just not very long ago stick his head around my door, office door, and say, "Hi, Miss Lee." And I said, "Well, where were you today?" This was 3:30, and he wasn't in school when I had them for music. So I said, you were away today. And he said, "Yes, I was." He says, "Because I had a fever. But it is getting better, and I hope it'll be down to zero in the morning so I can come to school." And then there's the little fellow who came bouncing across the schoolyard to me and said, "Miss Slade, would you pray for my mother?" And I said, "Why, certainly. Is your mother not well?" "Oh, no, she's got a very sore throat." I said, "Oh, probably got the bug that's going around." And he said, "No, no, she got it from screaming." He said, "She just screams and screams and screams at me because I because I don't listen." I said, "I think we need to pray for you as well as your mother." And then this week there was one that brought a smile to our faces. This was in an essay from Bible class. And the version was that God sent Jonah to Nunavut to preach the gospel. So we're bringing it right up to date. The purpose of Whitfield has been that students would right away encounter the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ for their lives, and that they would seek first the Lord and His kingdom, because that's the important part, as we all know. We want them prepared, sure, for whatever career there may be, but that doesn't last very long. Our work is for eternity. And we are so anxious that every one of our students, many have already professed faith in the Lord Jesus, and that is our greatest delight. But this is why we really exist, so that we can educate them in an environment where they will learn first the things of the Lord. And even those who may not follow right away, there have been disappointments, of course, but I've said to parents different times when they come and say, "Oh, my son, my daughter, my grief that I'm bearing because of them," I say, "Well, I always think of the verse, Proverbs 22:6, where it says, 'Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it.'" So there may be some intervening years where we are disappointed, but young people, I would just say to you, don't forget what you have learned here, and set your affection on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him your whole life to serve him and to know his blessing through this life, and then of course for all eternity you will be his. I have no greater joy, as the Apostle John said in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is truly our greatest joy. And I do believe that the Whitfield days will only get better and better. I'm looking forward to the 30th, 10 years, and the 40th in 20. I'm hoping to be here for all of those. And then even the 50th, I'd only be 104 then. Maybe I'll be indisposed or decomposed, but wherever. if it comes to that stage, I'll be watching and waiting. And just to paraphrase what another has said, any Whitfield students that I meet over on the other side, it will be two heavens for me. And I just pray that everyone will be gathered in at that day. Now, I forgot to bring up a bag because I thought if everybody else is giving me presents, I should be giving a present too. Thanks. I was thinking about something that I could give to the school and to everybody on this 20th anniversary. And I have a friend who helped me prepare something. Mr. John Fraser, who is wonderful with woodworking, has made for us a little stand on which we are going to rest this little bell. And on the bell is engraved Whitfield Christian School, 1989 to 2009. This is all made of a lovely, you did tell me. Actually, what we tried to do was to make all of this out of the wood from the old apple tree outside. But the old apple tree, once it got hit down the middle, we found that it was just very falling to pieces. And John worked very hard and was able to get this handle for the bell out of the old apple tree. But the rest is just a cherry wood, a little bit of maple here to hold it, and the text that I have chosen to leave with you is from Psalm 78, that the generation to come might set their hope in God. That is my prayer for Whitfield and for all of our children. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks. You can be seated for just one moment. Now, Dr. Slade gave us something to remember her by. It's going to be going in the school. And we thought that it would be very appropriate if there was a baby bell. That's to go with your home. Exactly the same. I want to thank again our brother John Fraser, who was able to make this again, the same wood, the old apple tree. He was able to get another piece and make it all up. It's exactly the same. So this is the, well, I don't know how you're going to do it. Anyways, this is the one for your home. So. Take your program sheet and turn to our final hymn, Give to Our God Immortal Praise. Let's stand, please, to sing. Let's close, please, with prayer. Father, tonight our hearts rejoice with thanksgiving for the kindness and mercy of the Lord to us. We're thankful for our sister, for her life and ministry. And we pray that she will know much blessing and joy and peace in these times of retirement. And our Father, as we acknowledge every mercy from thy gracious hand, continue, we pray, to pour out thy Spirit upon the ministry of Whitfield and help it to be a school of our Lord Jesus Christ for many years to come. Hear this, our prayer. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the congregation, please be seated. And I'm going to dismiss the students that are behind me first of all. And could I please invite all of you to come over to the gymnasium? There's refreshments provided there, some times of fellowship, and we're going to have the picture here on display over there as well as the quilt. So could I ask the musician to play and young people if you want to make your way down, please.